Good morning, one and all. Welcome to Vision in Action Live again. We have a presentation and a discussion today with a guest, Jim Mack. He's the owner of Rosie's. And this is where live music, pizza, and gelato come together. Trust me, it's fine. And I'm Jim Boswell. I'm your host and the author of Lifelong Fulfillment, Take Charge of Your Life. Today's presentation is going to be on personal economics. So, with personal economics, this is one of the most important things that's available to help you afford the life of your choice and how to make it happen. It's imperative to know what it costs you to live and prosper, where your incomes originate, and whether you are struggling or in good shape. So let's look at some of the recommendations from the experts. So starting out, the general recommendation for expenses would be that your income is allocated in a 50-30-20% model. 50% to take care of your absolute needs, 30% for things you want, and 20% moving towards savings. In addition, for those who are in the retirement bracket, and you know, this is an issue that becomes one for you whenever you decide you want to retire, is that you have saved in your retirement, say, 10 times your annual salary at the point you're 67 years old, and that you use that retirement income at about 80% of your pre-retirement level. And to do this, the financial experts, in this case Fortune, quote the 4% rule, and that is that 4% of your available retirement assets you draw as your first year income, and that based on inflation, you do a cost of living adjustment to that 4% in the following year, say 3% nominally on average. And that you keep repeating that adjustment each year. And that allows you to draw a specific number over a number of years when you're in the retirement bracket. So let's look at some other issues about how income happens in the United States. These are all facts and figures from 2022. And first thing, we want to say there were 131.4 million workers who earned a living at that point that were noted by the federal statistics. This chart breaks that up by percentage on the left-hand side and then brackets of income. So on the left-hand side, you can see an income bracket of $25,000 to $35,000. On the far right, you see $200,000 and over. Well, the total income, if you look at it and analyze it, 22% of the workforce, a mere 29 million people who earn something above $150,000 a year, they deliver 80% of the total U.S. income in 2022. Now, if you look at the next figure, 78% of the workforce, well over 100 million people, only deliver 20% of total U.S. incomes. And the third thing to draw from this, which isn't obvious, but it's kind of a break point, is that most households that make less than $100,000 a year are very likely to be struggling. So this just sets the stage so you understand the environment you're working in. Now, this chart to the left is a product of lifelongfulfillment.com. And what it does is it summarizes the average income and average expenses of a household in the United States, all dated, again, 2022 and, in some cases, 2023. These are Bureau of Labor Statistics and U.S. Census Bureau, so it's public domain data. In essence, just to reach the high points, on the income side, generally wage income on average is about $75,000. And many people have another $19,000 worth of income. So let's say 94 on average. Now, please remember when we talk about average versus means, Averages are higher because of the high income of that 20% of the population. Means are much lower. In fact, the $75,000 of income on average at a mean level would be about $25,000 less. So the figures would change. What we view here are averages. You can see the expenses in that are typical. A lot of expenses go into taxes, it goes into transportation, medical, food, etc. And you can see where minor expenses are. So the net here is they net about 3% of free cash flow, which is their net disposable income. Now, if you look at it versus the economic rules, the mortgage and rent is pretty much okay. It's in the 28 to 36% is the recommendation, and mortgages here are running about 27 on average. In savings, they have a real problem. Only 2.6% is getting saved out of a recommendation of 20, which means that 97% of expenses here are going to needs, led by taxes, transportation, medical, and food. So your goal there is to take a look at taxes, transportation, medical, and food and see what you can do about those level of expenses. So one thing you can do, see that far right column, what you can do is take your income, say a month's worth, multiply it by 12, do the same on expenses, and actually get an approximation of how healthy your income statement is and your ability to live the life you're currently living and to plan the next stage of your life, whatever those goals might appear to be. Let's take a look a little further on how we might manage that. So personal economics. Income incorporates salary, wages, stipends, parents' inputs, investments you might have, and even bequests. Those can all be considered income for the purposes of the income statement sheet. You do not consider employment benefits, sick leave, personal time off, or reimbursed expenses as part of that equation. That's not ready in-hand money, and actually that's net worth on a different sheet altogether. Expenses are pretty straightforward. Transportation, utilities, food, housing, clothing, insurance, petty cash, and medical and dental. So how do we look at this? Net income, or another term is disposable income, is your total income minus your total expenses. If you're negative on total expenses, your expenses exceed your income, then you're borrowing against your future, you're borrowing on a card, you're doing something to make that work. And it's a far cry from the recommended expenses, that expense management that you should be following. So if you need to increase your income or decrease your expenses, or maybe even both at the same time, let's look at a couple of ideas that might help. So let's say you don't earn enough. You can sit around and wait for your employer to give you cost of living raises, and they don't typically do it year to year, but every couple of years they've probably adjusted. You could go to your boss and ask for a 10% raise. You could try and amend this by establishing a side hustle, another business, to tax your limited time. You could change jobs within your company to one with more responsibilities or managing more people that comes at a higher bump in salary. Or you could consider even leaving the company with the expertise that you've established and looking for something more like a 50% raise. So these are ideas about incremental and more radical approaches to changing your income. So let's say your savings is a little out of line and you're not doing 20%. Well, number one, you have to stop spending as much so that you can invest that more. So there's some hard choices to be made there, and we'll talk about that a little further. You can shuttle increased income into tax-deferred investments, and the more you tax-defer, the less you're paying for it right now today. You'll pay for it in retirement when you're in a lower tax bracket. And you want to maximize employer benefits and matching. This is free money, essentially. So you should take advantage of that and be disciplined about it, because when it comes to your net worth and your retirement, it will be there for you. So what about expenses? All of us do it, but how you tackle this is we're going to use the Pareto rule again, and we're going to tackle the largest expenses first to see what can be done to lower our expense levels. Maybe utilities as a high cost can be addressed in some fashion to minimize the amount of utility use we have, and strategies like that. And you work them sequentially. Start at the largest and work downward. And the other thing is cost of living in general. What about a transfer, a new job in a better place, or the most radical of all is immigration? But those things stand the potential for changing your total cost of living. Let's look a little further. So let's sum up at this point. These are just very high level observations, but they're things that can trigger actions on your part to improve your income and decrease some of your expenses, and to begin planning for your future, wherever that may lead you. Fiscal discipline is absolutely integral to you achieving your goals, whatever they happen to be. The reason we chose an income statement here is it helps focus you so that you can have the help you want and the resources you need to generate to pursue the interests that you want, to have a career that you want to develop, to grow a family, and also to retire in a fashion that you will enjoy. So run your own income statement at your earliest convenience. That's our recommendation. Another thing you might want to do is look at Robert Reich on YouTube. He's really very articulate about employment situation for wage earners. And you can find this set of recommendations under personal finance in newsletter form and everything else you might need at lifelongfulfillment.com. So this is the point in the podcast where we get to share some perspectives with people leading directed lives. I'd like to speak to a book that I just recently had the opportunity to read called The Motivation Myth. Motivation Myth is by Jeff Hayden. Jeff is a columnist and contributor to Inc. magazine. One of the things he brings out amongst his various pieces of advice for living a good life is to foster multiple proficiencies in your life, not just your career, but other things that you like to do, that these can become very important at different phases of your life in terms of earning a living and staying engaged with life and reaching fulfillment. And in that vein, we're now going to speak with our guest today, Jim Mack, owner of Rosie's Pizza. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Vision in Action Live.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good to have you. So, Jim, with this book in mind and the idea about multiple proficiencies, maybe you could tell us what it's like from going from a saxophone player to a theater director and on to a restaurateur. This sounds very varied.
It is.
That's some good perspective to give us. So maybe you could share some of that with us. How did you wind up here? How's it going?
Well, I don't think your podcast is really long enough for me to go through all of the steps, because it took me a long time to get here. You know, okay. I'm only 73, but it still took a while to get here. I tried a lot of different things when I was young. I didn't really follow a lot of the guidelines and things that you have in your book, as far as saving for the future and looking towards the future. I was not cognizant of what I should be doing. I was just trying to survive, I guess. But I finally did learn. I got by when I got into the Navy and then the Army after that. that kind of helped me find a little more direction and to start thinking about the future. I went from that into directing a theater and then now into owning, my wife and I owning our own restaurant.
Right. So was there any particular point where you got some really outstanding guidance or you encountered, you know, some authoritative source that gave you a vision that helped you?
I think most recently it would have to be my wife. We've been together 22 years now. And that was probably the most structured direction I got from her, was looking at our finances and really planning. Prior to that, there was a gentleman that I was in the Army with. I was playing in Army bands for a lot of years and met him probably 30, 40 years ago. And we just happened to sit down one day and we were talking about what we were going to do once we retired from the military and that type of thing. And I said, well, I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of probably won't do music for my whole life other than I'm going to participate. But I don't think that's going to be a money-making thing for me. And he said, well, you know, if you want to be successful at whatever you do, you better have the means to support yourself or have a way to kind of fall back on something while you're trying to figure out exactly what you're going to do. And that really kind of started me thinking about, you know, I have no plan, especially financial, for what I'm going to do in the future. And I need to start giving that a very hard look.
Well, thanks. That's a good perspective. I think actually, Jim, there's a lot of people who are dealing with the same thing. A lot of advice that we talk about daily now wasn't really readily available back when we were growing up. So I think we have a lot of company here. One of the things that we find among folks is the question of balance. You know, many people place family ahead of career, career ahead of family, things like that. I wonder if that's been an issue for you and how you might have managed that.
It's definitely been an issue for me. I really did not, especially when I was younger. Like I said, I was trying to survive, and I didn't go out and spend a lot of time. I was working by lesser paying jobs and really struggling to just keep my head afloat. So that was definitely an issue. When I got a little older, especially I got married while I was in the military. We had a couple of kids. And I was gone quite a bit. I was traveling with bands and we were out playing a lot. When I was in the Navy, we were even stationed in different locations. So I really had to start kind of just making sure that I segmented my life so that I had my time that I was actually putting in the work, but I really had to work on and focus on being sure that I set aside the time to be with my family, to be with my kids, and kind of go through things with them, because that was not that was not in my nature to do. I was pretty focused on working to make sure I did a good job.
I see. Well, all of us have those issues, I guess.
Yes.
Another question for you. You're of an age, as am I, where retirement becomes an interesting goal, process, and so forth. Maybe you might share some thoughts with us about how you view that.
So I think for me, and actually for my current wife and myself, we kind of view retirement as we're not necessarily doing something that we want as a career, but we're doing something that we love and that we still have some purpose. I retired from the Performing Arts Theater that I had run for about 15 years, and we moved back to the small town where we live now. And we knew that we wanted to be retired, but we didn't want to sit around the house and watch TV or, you know, just, you know, get up in the morning and think, well, what are we going to do today? We wanted to have a purpose, and that's how we came about doing the restaurant. We had, like I said, when I met my wife, finally really started getting my financial things in order. So when we went to open the restaurant, it was not to support us. We wanted to give back to the little community that we were living in, help with the economic recovery that they were kind of moving into, provide some jobs in town for local people and that type of thing. So retirement, like I said, wasn't really just stepping away and going out traveling all the time and gallivanting around the country, which sounds good, but we wanted to have a purpose for what we were and something that we really loved.
Well, it's been 4 or 5 years now, and it looks like you've been very successful at establishing that retirement pattern and those goals.
It has. It's worked out really well for us, even, you know, during all the craziness. We did okay. We didn't do great like most everybody in the country, but we did okay and we made it through. And now we're really seeing the payoff on the other end. We're going to actually be able to hire some more people and possibly expand the business a little bit and offer a little bit more to the community.
Right. So, Jim, as you know, we are launching Lifelong Fulfillment, and I sort of briefed you on some of that and provided you some materials. I wondered if you had any comments about that that struck home for you.
Well, and looking through, especially, you'd sent me some information like on the personal economic side of things. And it really struck me that it took me so long to figure out that those were things that I really need to be concerned with. And I thought back kind of reflecting on some of the things you had, like how much, you know, I think one was the 4% rule and some other things about how you kind of plan for your retirement, that things might have been much easier for me if I had met you like 70 years ago, or, well, not that long ago, 50 years ago. And when I was really looking for what I was, you know, going to do and kind of searching for myself. And I think the other thing that struck me was just, I didn't really have a lifelong fulfillment kind of directive for a long time. I was just kind of out there in the world and getting by, like I said before, and not really thinking about what can I do, how can I contribute, you know, a lot of different things that you talk about. It just wasn't in my mindset. And in some ways, it's worked out great. Things have, you know, turned out well. I finally got my act together. But I wish that I had thought about a lot of those things when I was a lot younger.
Well, thank you for that. I think the time is finally coming when these things are now in the public domain and available. And hopefully the 20-somethings are looking at it so that they can start a little earlier than we did.
Right.
Yeah. So before we close, are there any other comments for our audience? I mean, most of them tuning in are interested in these kind of things in the self-help arena. Anything you care to say to them?
I think the only thing I would really mention is that I think it's good to have a lot of different experiences. But I think, as I kind of alluded to just a minute ago, if you've got some lifelong goals and you've got some plans in place, it's going to make it a lot easier for you to go through those experiences. I don't think you'll have to struggle as much. I think there's always some struggle that goes along with, especially if you're kind of deciding what it is you really want to do for your career or for your life. But I think if you have some basic groundwork laid out for yourself, it's going to make that whole process a lot easier.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks so much for joining us at Vision in Action Live today. And we hope your progress continues and you have the rest, the fulfillment under control. Happy days.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Great. We'll see you later.
All right. Take care.
And that's our podcast for today. Thanks so much for joining us at Vision in Action Live. We do this every couple of weeks, and we'll announce in advance when they're going to be broadcast. Thanks to Jim Mack for joining us today and providing us some additional insights on living a fulfilled life. Check out the book, Lifelong Fulfillment, other collateral materials and newsletters on lifelongfulfillment.com. This podcast will also be there. Have a great day. Look forward to seeing you next time.